I'm Lin-Manuel Miranda, and you're listening to Hard Knock Life.
Well, it's the NOC in full color, you see me? The Hard Knock Life. Comics, movies,
welcome to Hard Knock Life. I am Brittany Monet, your host. Keith is out, but I do have a very special guest with me today. We will be discussing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So today I have with me Liam King. Welcome to Nerds of Color.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. For our listeners who don't know who you are, you should tell them a little bit about yourself.
So yeah, as you said, my name is Liam King. I sing in the band Statements. We actually just put out our first song 2 weeks ago.
It's called, really good, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's called Hand Painted. It's got the singer from one of my favorite bands, House and Home, in it, featuring on it. So yeah, I mean, if you get a second, go check that out. That'd be awesome. We've got a handful more songs coming over the next couple of months. So
nice.
You know, I'm excited. It's been fun so far, and people have been super nice. So
yeah, well, hopefully you guys play out in Southern California so I can
go. We're trying.
Yeah, I believe it. It can happen. Yeah. There's so much to talk about with this movie. I really enjoyed it. I think it might be better than the first one. Not like sure yet where I'm fully on that, but I really loved it. What were your thoughts?
I think as a standalone story, it's hard to say if I like it more than the first, because it's obviously like part one of two, like more, I guess, technically part two of three. I think it was bigger. It like the stakes were obviously higher. I think I enjoyed it more, but as you know, if you're just watching one start to finish, I don't know if it was as solid for me, but it definitely left me way more excited for the next one than the first one did.
Okay. Yeah. I will say, I think the music was better in the first one for sure. Cause I also rewatched the first one last night.
I was talking to somebody about that after seeing the movie today. The soundtrack in general, which was released a couple of days ago, kind of had the same thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there was a song yet that I was like stuck with you. Like, you know how Sunflower kind of sticks with you.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I really loved it. Is there any non-spoiler other opinions you have before we get into the spoiler zone?
Non-spoiler, non-spoiler opinions. I thought, going back to the music, there was, yeah, it's not a spoiler because obviously you know Miguel's in the movie from the trailers, and obviously every time he did something, the bass would just hit, and it was like very specific, and it was just like, especially in like seeing it in theaters, it was just it was perfect. It was awesome.
His music cues were really cool. He's actually one of my favorite characters from this movie. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. There's one character that I'll talk about when we get into the spoiler thing that they changed up for me. Anyone who knows me in this podcast knows which character I'm already talking about. But yeah, I'm ready to dive into the spoiler area. So if you have not yet seen Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, pause this podcast, go watch the movie, and then come back because we are about to spoil the hell out of this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. So the character change that I do want to talk about is, I'm a huge Jessica Drew fan. I love Spider-Woman. I have no problem with the race swap. That's like totally cool with me. I just didn't feel like Jessica Drew, but then again, she wasn't in the movie long enough to be like, but as soon as she was shooting web blasters, I was like, wait a minute.
I felt the exact same way. Yeah, I didn't have an issue with the race swap part, but it didn't feel like Jessica Drew in the comics. It's like she's a Spider-Man. She's like witty and like caring and supportive, and like you see a little bit of that, and like I understand she doesn't have a ton of dialogue, but yeah, it just didn't feel like that to me.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see more of that in the next, but right now.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest complaint, because I just love Jessica Drew. So I was like, oh, there's no Venom Blast. And yeah, that was my own thing. But like, for those who have not followed the comics as closely, there is a run where she is pregnant, and that's where they introduce the street suit that she has on in the movie. But yeah, that was my only really big like irk. But I love Issa Rae, so I'm not too mad about it. But yeah, like I was saying earlier, though, Miguel, Oscar Isaac, he did the thing. He's so good.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't really sure what to expect, like the intensity of how they're gonna make his character. But, like, they knocked it out of the park. It was so good.
Oh, I know. Oh, like already really loved Peter B. Parker from like the first movie. Mm-hmm. And then like now I'm like, I feel like I have the two, like my two favorite type of like male characters. It's the brooding, like the brooding guy and then the
I saw somebody like 20 minutes ago on Twitter say how they kind of like himbo-fied Peter B. Parker a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit more.
Like, I mean, I thought it worked perfectly. It was especially like he was just like a goofy dad.
I think also it highlights one of the issues maybe with Peter Parker as like not just in this, but like they don't let Peter Parker grow up in the comics a lot and in the movies a lot. So it's just kind of rehashing the same in a way stories with Peter Parker, and you don't really let him grow up and do other things. So I think it's nice to see a Peter Parker who, you know, his life is kind of messy or more messier and more adult and like he's grown up. So I think that's also what really works about Peter B. Parker.
Well, I think on the other side of that, it's messier, but like it's like you're seeing a Peter that like essentially has won, like because Peter never gets a win in the comics. Like they don't really let him like have a family and be happy, and there's always something. So it's cool.
Yes, this little Mary Jane lookalike baby, she's adorable with her little knitted like mask.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Miles obviously is the like star of this. It's so nice to see Miles Morales. I know there's some it was just really really cool. And what's the word I'm looking for,
is it like transformative a little bit from, the first one?
Yeah, that's the word. It was very like, I just really loved where they took his character and all the things that he did and how much he is, you know, the first one's kind of about just kind of taking the small leap of faith into just doing the thing. And now he's like, he really took like in this one, the big leap of faith of like sticking to what you believe is right and following that path when it's hard, especially when you have other people who are telling you, this is the way your life is supposed to go. This is the way our mythos is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think it was great to showcase him like going further into that. But honestly, like even from the jump, I thought that this felt like more of a Spider-Gwen movie to me than really, really Miles Morales. And that's cool. Like I kind of like how it's like a back and forth between the first and the second.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to see the third now. And I know we have a shorter gap from the last time because Into the Spider-Verse was like 2018, I believe. And Beyond comes out in March, I think.
Yes. Yeah. So, they did these ones back to back. Yeah. Which, rewatching the first one last night, there's a lot of things that they already were planting, like so that's what I'm like, did they write all three of them at once and then we're hoping the first one would do well, and you know, or they're just really solid with like writing in between that it felt very seamless.
Because
rewatching the first one last night, there's definitely clues of like the big plot twist at the end, of which we'll get into in a little bit, but it's there for those who have not rewatched it yet. I highly recommend rewatching the first one because you'll see it. Yeah, I do agree that this movie was more when Hailee Steinfeld is just, she's one of the best actresses out there in film and voiceover. So it was nice to see her story. And Shea Whittingham was really great as a Captain Stacy.
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice to see like both of them, but I was kind of bummed that we didn't get more of like the core Spider group from the original. Like we got Penny. I think she had like a single line.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get that, you know, the end scene, which, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah.
I was a little bummed to not get more.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought we would see more of them and maybe expand a little bit across, like, their universes. But we just kind of go into the Nuevo New York where Miguel is and has central, like, for all of the spiders. And I was actually surprised how much I actually liked Hobie. Daniel Kaluuya is, like, was really great in that character.
I was hoping we were going to honestly see a little bit more of the different universes, because like you said, we see Nuevo York, we see Mumbatan, we see obviously Gwen's 68 or I can't remember 40 now, I don't remember, and then we, you know, obviously Miles' universe. But I guess I was a little not disappointed, because I was not disappointed with any part of this movie, but a little bummed that we didn't get to get a little bit more into that.
Yeah, I would have really loved to have seen like Spider Noir's universe a little bit more too. I'm one of those people that actually genuinely loved like Nicolas Cage, so I was hoping for more of him. I actually really like Renfield that just came out too a couple months with him, so I was hoping for a little bit more Nick Cage, but it's okay.
Did he have a line in this movie?
I think he's just like, again, in the end shot when they show like the team that we're kind of most likely going to be following in the third movie for a little bit. But yeah, I really liked the parts that we did see when they are actually in Nueva New York in the, I don't know, is it the Spider-Man headquarters? I don't know.
I think they called it Spider Society. I think that's what they referred to it as.
Okay, yeah. I did love that. And they went through all of like the different people they were catching who are not in the right timeline. So it kind of was giving a little bit TVA Loki vibes, was trying to correct the timelines and putting people back where they're supposed to be. So I don't know if you picked up on those vibes.
Absolutely. And I think it's cool that they're kind of aligning the logic a little bit with like, all right, so Miguel is essentially setting up the Spider Society to act similar to the TVA, but just regarding the web of life and destiny, which I'm also stoked that they like mentioned and referred to that in this. Thought they were going to get a little bit more. Also, when they were going through talking about the canon points and how that's like a direct correlation to like the absolute points that they've already established in like What If, and how those are universe shattering potentially. So it's kind of, they're lining up their logic, which is nice, which to me points to, especially with right before they introduced the Web of Life and Destiny, they had that little like electric path that looked exactly like the sacred timeline from Loki.
Yes. Yeah. It looked like the, and also, it also reminded me of the, is it the Victor Shield, the Tree of Life from like Thor and all, it looked also like kind of the same.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
So it definitely looks like they're lining up to, you know, make sure everything makes sense together so that I think we're going to get Miles in Secret Wars. So I think that's inevitable at this point after seeing this movie.
Because I mean, now like a really big spoiler is that we actually saw Childish Gambino. What's his stage name?
Donald Glover.
Yeah. His Prowler actually, which he's actually in a suit, which we never got to see him pick up the suit or anything in the MCU, but now it's kind of implied that he's got the Prowler suit and he somehow ended up in someone else's timeline. I want to kind of figure out who, if it had anything to do with maybe the whole like No Way Home situation, just because we also did get to see Toby and Andrew in it as well, as they were showing all the different spider universes. Yeah, and we had like Lego Spider-Man, and I think they even brought back Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was tiny compared to everybody else. And like, that was a good one. I liked the inclusion, but it really felt more of just like a for fun fan thing. Because I don't really think we're gonna see Donald Glover like again. Like that was the most surprising one for me. I don't think we're gonna see Donald Glover pop up as Uncle Aaron in the MCU. Really, that'd be awesome to be the case. I just don't see him like commit to like an actual role in the MCU.
Yeah, I know, because he already committed to, apparently, I don't know if they're still doing it, Lando show, where it's going to be like Billy Dee's like narrating it, and then it's going to be Donald doing all like the actual like story that is happening. They're supposed to do something like that, but I don't know if they're actually following through with it. There's a lot of things that Lucasfilm announces and then like pulls away.
Yeah, it's like maybe it'll happen, but
yeah.
But I that was the most surprising one. I thought it was funny and it was good. It just felt like more of a fan thing than like an actual like this is something to watch going forward to me.
Yeah, but I do agree with your point that Miles will probably be in Secret Wars, and I don't know if they're gonna change Kang Dynasty to a different name, but
yeah, we'll see how that plays out. I've been trying not to like speculate too much on all that.
Then let me see, I wrote a list of things. So we find out in this movie that the biggest anomaly to like the spider timeline and keeping everything in sync is actually the Miles that we've been following being bit by the spider. He got bit by the wrong spider from Earth 42, which if you go back and watch the first movie, you will notice that, yes, the spider is glitching as everyone else was glitching because they were out of the like out of their proper universe. So, yeah, and that's where we end up finding out that he ends up going back. He gets transported back to what is not his Earth, which is Earth 42, because of the 42 spider DNA in his body. And that plot twist, that was good. I loved the way they played out that last bit.
That little bait and switch was perfect, because I thought they were just gonna, again, when he ended up talking to his mom and he eventually like pulled the sweatshirt, I thought they were gonna not do that. I thought it was just gonna fake out again and have him like be like, you know, he gave another excuse earlier about what he was going to say. He said, I'm sorry I was late. I thought they were just going to do that again, And then they cut back to Gwen standing on the ceiling, and I was like, oh shit. I don't know if I can
yeah, like, you're fine. Okay.
But I was like, oh my God, that's not. And then everything kind of clicked. Like, it clicked for me at the same time that like you could see it register on their faces. So that was great. I loved how that played out.
Yeah, it played out so well. And then we get to actually meet Miles from Earth 42, who is like Prowler Jr.
Yeah.
And then it hits into the whole like destiny. And again, back to what, you know, Miguel was trying to point is that like you messed up. There's a universe out there where there is not a Spider-Man, and that's worse than that. And it's crazy to see how different that universe is without Spider-Man. And I think it just also, again, Spider-Man is one of the most important characters because he's always about, you know, helping out the neighborhood, and helping out one neighborhood trickles down to, I think, everywhere else. So it was kind of just like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked how they animated that scene too, because like as soon as they pull away and you can kind of see around the house, you can see there's like pictures behind and everything, and it's just Miles and his mom. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh no. And then Aaron walked in and I was like, oh no. His dad's dead. I was like,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there is no Spider-Man to save him, I guess.
Yeah.
And then also Jason Schwartzman, cannot forget about him. He was so good as, I don't know what they, did they name him Hole or the guy with the holes in him? Did they give him an actual name? The Spot. There we go.
Yeah, he referred to himself as The Spot. Yeah.
Yeah, he was just so funny. And he really does start off as a kind of a villain of the week type of character. We think, okay, it's just whatever. But then he ends up turning into be a really huge and crazy villain. And yeah, I'm sure he's coming back. I also like that he actually went to Venom's, Tom Hardy's Venom universe, and we saw Mrs. Chin.
Yeah, that was great. That was one of the goofier parts of the movie, and I loved it.
Yes, I'm like one of the people who like actually genuinely love the Venom movies. So I was actually really excited to see that part.
Yeah. I thought Schwarzman was great, and I thought he was great, and I thought his character design was great. And it's really nice because like they introduce him, like you said, you know, they call him like the villain of the week, and he's just kind of goofy. And then they get to that collider scene, and all they do is invert his color scheme, and he just looks crazy menacing.
Yeah.
And it's just like a great character design. It's probably one of the creepier villain designs because it's so simple. I think, but yeah, I really like how that turned out as well.
Yeah, no, sometimes simple can do a lot.
Yeah.
Let's see, what do you have any like favorite moments from the movie aside from like the Mrs. Chin part or anything that we haven't talked about yet?
I do like the scenes with Miles and Hobie. And they don't feel super important, but then like it's like the one like connection he makes in the like Spider Society, I guess they're calling it. And like he really is the only other one who's just like, screw this, like this doesn't have to be this way. And then he ends up being, you know, the reason he's able to break out of the shield. He ends up being the reason that Gwen can come help out. And so I did really like those interactions.
Yeah, I liked Hobie a lot. And then Daniel Kaluuya was like always great in like everything he's in. But yeah, I really loved that. I like that he was actually drawn to look kind of like Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
Like, I totally picked up on that. I was like, okay, he feels like Lenny Kravitz. I love that.
Yeah. It looked like he was animated slower too.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because the way he moved was very different than everyone else.
It was janky compared to.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to have that more like, you know, punk.
Erratic kind of. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Feel. Yeah. Also, the other Spider-Man.
Pavitra Prabhakar, I think.
Yes. He was a lot of fun. I love that actor, Karan. He's so good in like the Deadpool movies.
Yeah. As soon as I heard his voice, I turned to my friend in the theater. I was like, is that Dopinder from Deadpool?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which is so funny. It's like a small Easter egg, but in the first one, there's like this little like sticker thing on Miles's wall, but there's like a red ribbon that goes down it that it actually is like, looks like Deadpool's mask. I just noticed that last night. I was like, oh, okay.
I thought his design was great too, especially compared to like how he's first introduced. Because I think originally he just is like wearing pants. He's like wearing a normal spider costume with pants.
Yeah, like those Aladdin pants, basically.
A little bit, yeah, exactly.
I don't know what else to call them, but they look like the Aladdin pants with the puffy or hammer pants, I guess you could say.
Yeah. back in, it was like one of the 600s Amazing Spider-Mans when they first introduced for that, around that Spider-Verse event. And he obviously could tell he was a different Spider-Man because of it, but I thought this design was way cooler and just felt way better.
And
the whole, like, the spindles they gave him too for his webs were really interesting, and I liked how that played out.
Yeah, no, I like that too. And just Kron is always, like, he has such a nice voice to listen to. He makes you feel good. So it was nice to have, like, that little breath of fresh air, even though that kind of ends up starting the catalyst for Miguel being mad about, you know, Miles being involved and everything.
Absolutely.
So, Brittany.
Yes.
You're a big fan of Paramount Plus, aren't you?
Oh, I am. Indeed. That is the home of one of my favorite shows, which I know some people, I've talked about it.
Yeah. You're not the demographic.
I know I'm not the demographic, but the show I'm talking about is obviously Yellowstone. If you don't know, I love Yellowstone, and it's literally one of the most, like, I'm saying, I know a lot of people are like, oh, it seems like it's for, like, rednecks or something like that. I promise you, the drama is so good. It's just, and if you're a fan of Twilight, there's, like, you know, an actor from Twilight that's on there.
Well, it's one of the biggest shows in the world.
Yes.
And it's got these, like, great spinoffs, right? Because isn't 1923 a spinoff of Yellowstone and 1883? Am I getting those years correct?
No, it's 1923. I'm not there yet on the spinoffs.
But it's kind of like Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren. Like,
yes.
That's crazy that those are, like, actors you get for TV shows.
Tim McGraw and Faith Hill are on the 18 one, if you are a country fan. Which Tim McGraw is honestly a really great actor. I don't know if you've ever seen Friday Night Lights, but he's a great actor. So they're great. Those are great things to check out. I have to wait for my mom and brother to watch it because we are such a fan of the show. Teen Wolf is also on Paramount Plus, and they released a new movie with Tyler Hoechlin is in it and back. So I'm excited to watch that finally when I get around to it. I know it's been like 2 months now, but it's hard to coordinate our schedules.
Well, the reason we're bringing up Paramount Plus is that if you click on the link in the description to this podcast, you can actually stream Paramount Plus for 1 month for free. We're just excited that we get to share Paramount Plus with all of our listeners. So click on the link that you see in the description and stream Paramount Plus for free for a month. Try it. If you don't like it, you can cancel. But if you love it, if you love Yellowstone, Teen Wolf, Star Trek, all of the Star Treks are on Paramount Plus, do that and you'll help us out in the process.
I thought we would get, because we talked about the Web of Life and Destiny, and I thought maybe we'd get, like, a little more like something. I thought we would maybe get, like, some mention or cameo of Ezekiel Sims.
Yeah, so tell me who that is.
Oh, he's like, so there's, like, that whole spider totem part of, like, being a Spider-Man. He essentially, I can't remember what the run is called, but he essentially, like, explains all of that to Peter.
Okay.
And like, lays out the Web of Life and Destiny, which, like, this movie is essentially based around. But then I was watching something like an hour or two ago, and it was like a frame by frame in the scene where there's the Spider-Man talking to his therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Up on the wall, it says Doctor of Psychology Ezekiel Sims, which was really nice.
Okay.
I just liked his character a lot, so it was cool to see him at least get, like, a mention in the movie.
Okay, yeah. Most of the spider stuff I have honestly read is Jessica Drew and, like, Cindy Moon, who's Silk, which I'm surprised she hasn't made an appearance in these yet.
Silk is introduced in the run, like, right after Ezekiel and Peter. Okay. So, I mean, I would recommend that. That's really good. And yeah, I thought we'd maybe get some kind of Silk character. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think they were going to give us her, like, Silk costume where it's literally just webbing, but I thought they would at least, like, give her a place in the movie. But
yeah,
but, I mean, there's also a third movie, so, and yeah, they fit a lot of stuff into this.
Oh yeah, a lot of stuff. We had the Spider Bite, played by Mandela Sternberg. They're always great to see them and stuff, and I like that they actually ended up helping Miles a little bit to get out. And I feel like I talked about everything that I was, like, down to talk about today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not super familiar with that character, but it was cool to see.
Not either. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have, like, a favorite, like, Spider-Man that you saw come in?
My favorite like live action Spider-Man, unfortunately, is Andrew Garfield. I'm probably one of the few people who are like, yeah, he's amazing. Well, he's literally the amazing Spider-Man. But yeah, I really liked seeing Andrew. I didn't think that we were going to see, I wasn't expecting to see Toby or Andrew in this film at all. I thought if they were going to bring them in, it would be like for like the third movie, mm-hmm. you know, but just even see them like referenced, and that actually Andrew got a little bit more little shots of him more than like Toby was a little was nice for me, at least. I still liked seeing Jessica Drew, even though she wasn't like the Jessica Drew that I'm like, yeah. And then I really liked actually seeing Gwen do like her being in the band and drumming in the beginning. Yeah. Like, I loved that moment a lot too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fully agree. I think I haven't read much of like the Spider-Gwen comics aside from like what pops over into like the Spider-Verse like actual events.
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie solidified that character as being just like really cool for me.
Yeah, I know. She's so cool. Yeah. I can't wait to see if they do anything else with her. If we're going to see a live, not that everything needs a live action counterpart, but it would be cool still to see her live action at some point too.
It's unfortunate that I'd love to see it be Hailee Steinfeld.
Because she's Kate Bishop too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which my little brother, he barely found that out last night. I was like, she's Kate Bishop.
there's a lot of that in this movie.
Yeah.
Of course, now that I've said that, I've blanked. But
Mahershala is going to be Blade, but he was also Cottonmouth. If you watch the Luke Cage series,
mm-hmm.
who else has dabbled in both universes?
Daniel Kaluuya.
Yes.
Was in Black Panther.
Yeah. And then
Miguel O'Hara, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. It was everywhere. He's in every part of the Marvel like universe pretty much, except for he didn't do the Netflix shows. That's the only thing he didn't do, was the Netflix stuff.
Disney just loves him, which I understand.
Yeah, he's so great. He's really, really good. For the voice of JJ Jameson, it was
JK Simmons.
Yes, JK Simmons again. Yeah. So that was, it's funny that he's just like, he's always him in every universe like that. So like the Lego universe, which was really funny. So I was like, okay, he's everywhere.
I think it was him for every iteration. Yeah. I thought that was funny. And like we saw so much of him too, which was shocking.
Yeah. So yeah, it's nice that he's around a lot though, because he's so good in that role. Like I don't know who else would do it justice.
I didn't realize that Ben Reilly, Scarlet Spider, was Andy Samberg.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I was looking at the cast list. Was it last night I was looking at the cast list?
Mm.
Yeah. And he was just like, oh, there's like the alleyway or whatever he would say.
Yeah.
He was really funny.
I hope I can see past my bulging muscles or something like that.
Yeah.
So that was good. I think I haven't checked. I haven't like gone through IMDb yet fully, but I'm sure there's a ton I'm going to catch and be like, oh crap, I didn't even realize it was that person.
I think I saw that Jack Quaid voice someone, which I don't know.
He was Gwen's Parker. He was Gwen's Peter Parker that died. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't know if you watch The Boys, but like I love that show. So it was nice to see that he did something with that.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I really think Jensen Ackles should play a spider character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Jensen Ackles, and I feel like Marvel keeps missing the ball in casting him.
I think they can do whatever they want now, like in terms of just like they had like, I think the number I saw that the creators of the movie was over like 250 spider people, which like a lot of those were just like nondescript variations and color schemes and stuff. They can really throw in whoever they want at this point.
Yeah.
They'll just be a spider person. So.
Oh yeah, there was definitely a lot, and some that we didn't get to go into too much, but I did like that there was a spider cat.
Yes, yeah. I was wondering how that was going to work, and then they spit the fur ball, and I was like, okay, yeah, that adds up.
I'm trying to think, is there any other little like spider characters that they show that like was like fun to see? I like that there was actual spider car.
Yeah, that was good, especially because they referenced it in the last movie already, and now it was like a person.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've played the games, like the PlayStation games.
No, my little brother probably has, though. He's more into video games than I am.
They had like a bunch of different of those suits in there. They had Yuri Lowenthal, if you know him, voice one of them as well, because he's the newest voice in the most recent edition. Yeah, so that was kind of cool to see. I know a lot of people were excited for that, as well as Spider-Man Unlimited, if you watched that back in like the 2000s.
Yeah, I'd like briefly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they had that suit. So it was cool. It was definitely packed full of that stuff. And I'm sure I'm going to go back and see a bunch more of stuff yeah. that I didn't even realize. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really liked this movie a lot. It was just a fun watch, and to see Miles, you know, kind of be forced to really grow up and accept like his responsibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was worth the wait, and we don't have to wait too much longer for the rest of it. So
yeah, do you think this one will get the Oscar like the first one did?
I don't know, just because like there's a lot of, I think I can't remember what came out in 2018. It's like mm-hmm. what it was up against. And I think it's the best movie I've seen this year, but I just don't know, like, because it's competing against a bunch of like solid releases, especially even just this summer. So I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know, because Ruby the Teenage Kraken looks pretty good.
I had never heard of that before until the trailer right before, and I was like, uh-huh. Okay, this is something.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like something. At least for me, it looks like my kind of cup of tea. And then I found out like the Trolls movie coming out is like the third one, and I was like, I did not know that there was even two of those.
I saw the they played the Trolls trailer too, and honestly, I was more excited for that.
Okay, I've never seen this. They're good.
I've never seen the second one. I remember watching the first one with my nephew and liking it. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other Across the Spider-Verse thoughts or hopes for Beyond the Spider-Verse?
I hope they like tie it out well. Like, I think they've done mm-hmm. a great job so far. I hope they stick the landing, and I'm sure they will. Like, I don't have a, it's yeah. not like I have a lot of faith that they will. So
yeah, no, I think they'll stick the landing. I'm really excited. I hope maybe we'll get to see Silk and maybe some more Jessica Drew. I don't know, but I understand this still, again, it's more of Miles and Gwen's story than it is, you know, the other characters that we yeah. know. But I'm really excited. I hope we do get more Nick Cage, like I said, because he's always fun in like everything he's in pretty much. And
yeah.
Do you have a nerd pop in this week?
Yeah, I've been playing a ton of Tears of the Kingdom. Of the new Zelda game, so I know I'm not the only one.
Oh yeah, no, you're probably not.
Yeah, so that's my big thing of the week. I'll probably get off this and go back and keep playing. So
no, that's cool. Yeah. For me, actually, I actually saw The Little Mermaid on Monday, and I really liked it because Ariel was like always my favorite Disney princess as a kid. Nice. So it felt like a nice little healing my inner child moment.
Nice.
So yeah, that was fun. I will say that. Though there's one song in there that is definitely more for kids than for adults, because it's more, you know, the kids were laughing and enjoying the crap out of that song, but I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I gotcha. I'm sure I'll watch it. I've kind of heard some mixed things that like people either like really love it or that it kind of like missed the mark for them, but I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure I'll.
I would say definitely it's one of the better like the live action movies so far. I don't think there's anything wrong with the people they've cast in the roles for the most part, but there was like a couple of things that could have been a little yeah. different, but it wasn't like terrible, I think, as some people are like making it out to be.
How did you see did you watch Lion King, the live action
yeah.
of that?
Yeah.
How would you compare how like it's like there's a big animal cast. How would you compare how they looked like compared to Lion King? Because I thought Lion King looked really bad.
It's a little
like not really bad, but goofy.
It's maybe slightly better.
Okay, that's good.
But it's not like, oh wow.
Yeah.
I still think Cinderella is their best live action movie that they have done so far. Cinderella was just, it was really solid. And I actually really like the first Maleficent movie.
I actually don't know if I watched that one. There's two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
First one's definitely better.
I think, yeah, it's hit or miss on the Disney live actions. It's just some things, I don't know, like some things that are like super fantasy don't mm-hmm. necessarily need to look super realistic to me.
Yeah. And they sometimes overdo it with the realism. So,
yeah. But I'm glad that this seemed good. So I'll probably end up watching that.
Yeah, no, you should definitely at least check it out. Holly, I mean, is a really great singer. So like, at least like when she's singing, it's great. It's a good time. So that, at least that, you don't have to worry about the main princess not like, you know, being able to sing or something.
Yeah.
Where can our listeners find you on social media?
So you can find us at Statements Band. That's STMNTS is how it's stylized. So at Statements Band on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah, just STMNTS on Apple Music, Spotify. Is Amazon Music still a thing? If it is, we're on there too. Yeah, so you can check us out there if you feel inclined.
Yeah, and then your own personal accounts if you want people to follow you. If not, I mean, I totally...
Yeah, that's cool. And then you can follow me. You can find me at Liam, LIAM _ King, KING, on Instagram, Twitter. Don't look me up on Facebook, but I guess you could. And then I share a lot of band stuff there too, so you know, feel free to do that.
I know some of the listeners are for sure from the Baltimore area because that's where Keith is.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're based out of Baltimore and we play a lot of shows around there. We've got some more coming up in, you know, the surrounding states, Virginia, PA, that kind of area. You know, look out for us. If you check us out and like it, then that'd be great. See you guys out there.
Cool. And listeners can obviously find me at Hi Brittany Monet on Twitter, Instagram, and I'm still trying to use Hive, but I don't know. It's not all that.
I think I made one and then just never did anything on it.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like it was going to be the place, but then Twitter never really fully shut down, so.
Yeah. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be a sinking ship, but you know.
Yeah. And then you can check out my other podcast at Litroom_podcast that I do with obviously the people I used to do Black Lightning podcast and Naomi podcast with. And then you can follow this podcast at Hard Knock Media. And you can find us on Google, Apple Podcasts. I'm so bad at this. Keith is usually better at signing off than me. And, well, until next time, stay lit.
Thanks.